Genesis chapter 41. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt. And they stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. And so Pharaoh awoke. Here, you know, we have the introduction of Pharaoh's dreams. We read there in verse 1 that Pharaoh had a dream. That term is interesting to me. You know, Pharaoh had a dream. We read in the scriptures about God directing people with dreams. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, who in times past spoke to us in various manners and to the fathers. And we read there about how God would reveal himself through dreams at times. Jacob himself had dreams. And now Joseph, we read, in his youth, he had dreams. It's interesting that in the scripture we see some parallel between Daniel and Joseph. In both of these cases, the kings in those Gentile foreign lands have dreams which must be interpreted by these Hebrew prophets. And so we read that Pharaoh has a dream. In both of those cases, Nebuchadnezzar and Pharaoh, they would be the host nation for God's people for the foreseeable future. And so there's almost this covering and this grace that God gives to these foreign kings who aren't searching after God to have a place of refuge and safety. We think of after Nebuchadnezzar, as the children of Israel were captive in Babylon, later the Persians would come, and under Cyrus, who was like a shepherd of God, he would allow the people to go home. And so God would give guidance to these foreign kings for the sake of his people. And Israel is soon going to come down into Egypt, and God is going to prepare the nest for them, so to speak. They're going to have a place there, a place where they can grow and prosper, and God is going to plant them. They're only about 70 in number. But in a few hundred years, they will be in the millions. And God would use Egypt as a sort of womb where he would build an entire people, a nation. And yet here we read that Pharaoh dreamed. You know, we think of our leaders and those who rise to power and influence among us human beings. But sometimes we can have the idea that they know everything and they know the way, and we would hope so. But we know that only Jesus is the one who knows all things. And yet we see here in the scripture that even the greatest leaders that ever were in history still had an invisible space in their minds and hearts. And even they would look to the stars or some oracle, of course, Alexander the Great and the Oracle of Delphi, and omens, prognosticators, and dreams were a big thing because it was almost like a voice coming from the other world, and it just speaks to us of our desire, and within our hearts we want to be led and cared for and directed by someone greater than ourselves. It's just part of our human condition. And so God gives this dream to Pharaoh. Again, in Joseph's life, dreams play a role. When he's young, he dreams of sheaves, his brother sheaves bowing down to his. And then he dreams about the sun and moon and stars bowing down to him. Didn't seem like his dreams worked out, did it? He got sold into slavery into Egypt. But it didn't stop him from believing. He knew that the Lord had something. And then when that butler and baker, they were in the jail where Joseph was now a servant to the criminals of the empire. I mean, Joseph is amazing. He's the servant of the servants. For the chief butler and chief baker were now imprisoned. And Joseph, of course, throughout the whole story here, he's this picture, a personification or a type of Christ. And even as Joseph is the servant of servants, soon he'll be like a king over all of these kingdoms. Egypt was an empire that ruled over so many others. And so the Lord, Jesus, comes to us, and he is a servant. He comes as one who bears our burdens, and one day he'll rule as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Joseph has these interpretations for these butler and baker. And we talked about last time how he wasn't jaded. He wasn't upset that his dreams didn't seem to work out. He still believed, and he still hoped, and he still had faith. And yet after the dream was interpreted and it came to pass, the chief butler, the one who was the cupbearer to the king, he was restored to his position. And you remember what Joseph told him, "When you're restored, please remember me, for I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews." But we read there in verse 1 that it was after 2 full years, apparently this man had forgotten Joseph. He had forgotten about him. And so Joseph, after these 2 full years, notice what it says, at the end of 2 full years. This wasn't time served. It was the entire length of time, every day having been forgotten. I'm sure he's been forgotten many times. Joseph by his brothers forgotten. Joseph by his fellow servants forgotten when he got thrown into prison. And now he's even forgotten by the prisoners. And yet his faith doesn't change. And he's going to be called upon to give Pharaoh an interpretation of these weird dreams. Now, what a weird dream it was. I don't know if you dream much anymore. Nowadays, I'm not sure if our brains will produce dreams. We're so fed on generated images. I don't know if we can generate our own images. I don't know if we can dream quite the same as they did. But Pharaoh has a dream, and I notice a couple of things from this dream. First of all, it says that in verse 2 that these cows were fine-looking and fat. And that's a wonderful thing. The scripture tells us that it's fine to look fat. And then it goes on to say that the skinny cows were ugly, gaunt and ugly. So praise the Lord. What a great word from the Lord tonight, that it's fine. Fat is good. Well, if you're a cow, anyway. So he has a strange dream. These big cows come up out of the Nile River. The Nile River was their source for their crops. It would flood the plains, and they would, you know, get all their soil and silt and nutrients. And so it was a symbol for them. They even worshiped the Nile. And these cows came out. They worshiped cows as well. And these cows looked great, but then these other cows came. And it says there that they ate the other cows. And the word ate in verse 4 really means to chew and gnaw. It wasn't like they just ate them with one bite. They just ate away at them. This is the idea that that prosperity that Egypt is going to experience, the interpretation of the dream, will be worn away quickly. And then he says that he slept and he dreamed a second time, and suddenly seven heads of grain came up on one stalk. Your version might say corn. It's the same idea. These heads were plump and good. And they came on one stalk. But then it says, "Behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads." So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. The Hebrew language there seemed to indicate that it was so realistic and so true that Pharaoh woke and was like, whoa. It was so real that he wouldn't have known lest he woke up. And it was a dream. Again, we learn here that it is good to be plump. I read that about this, and these thin heads were blighted by the east wind. And so he has these strange dreams. Now, the Bible tells us in Joel chapter 2 that when God pours out his Holy Spirit on the church, that he says, your sons and your daughters, your maids and your maidservants, and people in every class of society and age, they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it says your young men and your old men, you'll see dreams and visions. And so God will give visions, even now in the New Testament, even though we know that God directs us by his word, God can put dreams in your heart. And he does. And sometimes they're when you're sleeping, and sometimes they're just a vision. It's interesting about Jacob, you know, he always receives dreams from the Lord when he travels. We read, I think it's in chapter 28, when he fled from his brother, he dreamed about the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him at Bethel. And then when he was there in Laban's country with his uncle for 20 years, when it was time to leave, the Bible says that he dreamed again, and God said, it's time to go home. And then we're going to read at the very end of his life, after 20 years of losing his son, Joseph, thinking that he had died when he was being really trained by God for leadership in Egypt, he would hear that Joseph was alive again, and he would travel down, but that time God also appeared to him in a dream, and he said, don't be afraid to go down, because I'll go down with you, and I will bring you up again. And God will give these dreams to you at times in your life when you're in transition. And you may be in transition tonight. There's a change in your life, or maybe you're about to embark on a journey, or maybe you're on a journey and God wants to assure you that he'll be with you, that where you're going, he'll go there with you and he'll bring you back again. But here, Pharaoh, he has these dreams. He doesn't know what they mean. And it says in verse 8 that his spirit troubled him. His spirit troubled him. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. These were the counselors. These were the wise men, the sorcerers, those that in the years to come Moses would stand face to face with when he demanded that Israel be let go. These were the shamans of the land. And they couldn't answer what this dream meant, though he explained it to them. And then in verse 9 it says, then the chief butler, maybe bringing in drinks and refreshments for all the wise men, overhearing the talk around the table of what was going on, he hears that the king had a dream and it troubled him. It's the same word used there in verse 8 that was used in the previous chapter about the servant. It was troubling. He was agitated. Sometimes when you have a dream or a vision or something that you want to do or you desire to do and it's deep within your heart, you don't know really what it is and it can be agitating. I don't know what my plan in life is. It's somewhere in there. I know that God has something for me, but I don't know exactly what it is, and it can trouble you, and you need clarity to that vision. You need some definition. You need to have that thing opened up to you. What has God put in your heart to do? That's what you desire to see produced. That's what you want to live. That's where you want to go. These are the things that God can put into our heart. I mean, sometimes we say it in a secular sense, you know. Well, I had a vision for this. Or, you know, I've had a dream of always, in my whole life, I've dreamed of fill in the blank. Sometimes we don't follow our dreams or we don't give them up to the Lord to see if the Lord will bring them to fruition. And we stop calling them dreams, and pretty soon we start calling them things on our bucket list. I had a friend the other day tell me, she said that some years ago the doctor told her she had a condition and she should start fulfilling her bucket list. I thought, well, that's a terrible thing to say. It's not a positive diagnosis. Praise God, they've lived far longer than what the doctor expected, because, you know, our Lord is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living, and he has a plan for you. Don't fill out your bucket list. Fulfill your dream list. Dream again. Let God put into your heart good things and let him fulfill them. And so it says there that Pharaoh, nobody could help him. He was troubled about it. And then the butler spoke to Pharaoh saying, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and he put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, each of us had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. And there was this young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass Just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Now, he's speaking about the Pharaoh at that time. There's something interesting here you might consider, that 2 years had passed, and they missed this. This may have been a new Pharaoh, because this man reminds him of what happened 2 years ago, and he refers to the Pharaoh in verse 13 as he hanged him. It may not have been that it was the same Pharaoh. It may have been just that he is using that sort of third person formal. But later on, we read of Joseph when he's in a position of power and he reveals himself to his brothers. He tells his brothers that what they had done for evil, God used for good. And he says that the Lord had made him a father to the Pharaoh in Egypt. So it's possible that the Pharaoh at this time, let's not imagine an old man or a fully grown king. It could be that he was just a young boy, maybe 9, 10, 12, 15 years old, maybe 17 years old. And so in 14 years from now, Joseph says, I'm like a dad to this king. He may have still been a young man at that time. And so you wonder, you know, all of this time Joseph was in prison, the Lord must have been training him about people. He didn't put his trust in people because his brothers had failed him and his fellow servants had failed him. And even the prisoners had failed him, but he trusted the Lord. And he's going to be called to interpret this dream. To me, though, in verse 9, I wonder about that phrase, I remember my faults this day. It's an interesting phrase to think, what was this man's faults? Except that he had forgotten a friend. He had forgotten the one who had ministered to him in prison, who comforted him there. The Bible says in chapter 40, verse 4, that Joseph served them. They were servants in prison, and they were being served by Joseph. He had forgotten about the kindness. You know, in some ways, this is figurative for us because it's very easy for us to forget. I'm not usually thinking about my faults. Are you? I hope not. And all of a sudden it dawns on him, I've forgotten the guy that saved me. I've forgotten the one that cheered me when I was in prison. I've forgotten the friend that I had that I confided in. I've forgotten the one that gave me the good news. I've forgotten the one that opened my dreams to me. He interpreted my dreams. Isn't it sad when sometimes we're so blessed by the Lord, but we forget him? The Lord ministered to you in your darkest hour, and it's possible for us to forget. Oh, may we remember the Lord who was gracious to us even when we had nothing. And so he remembers this young man in verse 12 as a young Hebrew. And he says that his word was good not only because he was restored to his office, but his word was proven true because the other servant in prison was hanged. And he says that in verse 13. Sometimes we wonder how important it is to give the full counsel of God. I love to give the good news parts. I love to give the positive parts about God's blessing, but God also requires me to warn. And when we do give the warnings of Scripture, it lends to our credibility. And so even that judgment that was pronounced on the other man was part of the positive witness that he had. And so Pharaoh, it says in verse 14, he sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. Bliad, I think, is the Hebrew there. Not me. Not me. God will give Pharaoh the answer of peace. And so Pharaoh's going to go on and give him the dream. Isn't it wonderful what Joseph responds? His first, he's standing there. This is a rags-to-riches story, if you ever had it. He's in the lowest of the low. He's the guy that's serving the prisoners in prison, and he is going to be brought before the king all because of this dream that God gives. He doesn't do anything to earn any of this except become a conduit for God's blessing. And he answers, it's not in me, but God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You know, when you go to God with a dream that's in your heart or something that he's put in there, and you give it to the Lord. I just think of Pharaoh, who has an open heart. He's not critical. He's not skeptical. He just wants to understand what God has revealed to him. And so he comes to Joseph and says, I'm looking for answers. And Joseph's response is, God will give you an answer of peace. And I think it's safe for us to say that when a person brings their dreams before the Lord, God will set them on and bless them in a path of peace. Think of the previous chapter when Joseph went into the two prisoners and he said, why do you look so sad today? And they said, oh, we've each had a dream and there's no one to interpret it. Remember that in chapter 40, verse 8, Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. I like the way that Joseph responds to these dreams. He gives us some spiritual insight about what we ought to do. Interpretations, it's related to a Hebrew root word that means to open. It means to take the meaning in something and open it. Sometimes it's just you don't understand what, I don't have clarity about what God has put there. And then, you know, the Lord tells us through Joseph as a picture, doesn't the opening of that vision belong to God? Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? That thing that he's put in your heart, that desire, that mission, that purpose that you have, to know this, that don't you know that God is the one that can open that to you? God is the one that can bring it to pass, bring it into reality. And then Joseph says to us, tell it to me, please. The Lord wants you to confess your heart to him and express to him those things, even that you maybe don't understand. He wants to talk with you about those things. Sometimes I think maybe our prayers are too formal. You know, we pray in church and we pray for the things that we think are important to pray for, and they are important to pray for. But we forget to just talk to God about our dreams, about our hurts, or maybe our hopes. Joseph says, hey, the opening of it belongs to the Lord. Tell it to me. And I think if you tell the Lord your dreams, he will open them and he will give you an answer of peace. Because if you come like Pharaoh and you just have an open heart, God, what does this mean? With no prejudice. Of course, the Egyptians didn't really think very highly of the Hebrews, but Pharaoh doesn't care. He just wants to know the meaning of the verse. He doesn't come to God with any kind of prejudice in his heart. And if you come to God with a pure heart and an open heart, or as Jesus says to us in the New Testament, a noble heart, then he will give you an answer of peace. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of a river. Suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. I like the reading Pharaoh's recounting of the dream. He adds a couple details. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all of the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. And when they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Don't you hate it when you got that friend that can just eat anything and they stay skinny? That's what Pharaoh dreams. You know, these sickly looking cows with the bones in their hips. They come up and they devour these other cows. Mad cows is what's happening. And then nothing happens. And then I woke up, he says. And then he goes on. He says, also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven heads, withered and thin, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, the wind from the wilderness, hot. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. And so I told this to the magician, but there was no one who could explain it to me. And suddenly, it's almost like as Pharaoh said it, he understood it. It was open to him. He knew what it meant. Without hesitation, he said, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. It's the same thing you've dreamed. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. God's revealing to you the future. The dreams are one. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows, which came up after them, they are 7 years, just like the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind. They're 7 years of famine. And this is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all of the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will deplete the land. And so the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God and God will shortly bring it to pass. Such clarity. It's so simple. He says, listen, 7 years, you're going to have good times. And then there's going to be 7 years where you'll never even think or imagine that there were good times before this. It'll be completely wasted. But Joseph doesn't only just have the word of knowledge, that's the information, but because of God's spirit on him and working through him, he has a word of wisdom. He has some advice to follow. And so he says in verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years, 20% tax on all of the bounty. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during that famine. And so Joseph gives this solid advice. It's almost like he didn't even need time to think about it. He said the interpretation in one breath and the advice or the prescription in the next breath. And the clarity, and apparently he is so impressive as a man who just walked out of prison a couple hours earlier, picked from the dungeon. This interpretation becomes more like a job interview. Notice what happens. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. So Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God? What a good question that is. Can we find someone like this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God? By the way, if you're looking for a mate, this is the question you ought to be asking. Can someone find a person in whom is the Spirit of God? Does she have the Spirit of God? Does he have the Spirit of God? Can you see that in their life? That's the most important thing. And Joseph somehow, just looking at him, hearing him speak, he had the power of God coming off of his life. And so Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You will be over all my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see all that I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Now, I just think of the promotion that this was. If this was indeed a new Pharaoh, and he was quite young at this time, this decree was not just a promotion to be the vice Pharaoh. If it was a young king, in fact, he was putting him over the entire kingdom and just saying, just let me be the king and do the waving and the parades. You just run the whole country. It's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, this is a type of the kind of radical ascension in power and glory and authority that will be played out in Jesus when he dies on the cross and he's buried and he's in the earth, but then he ascends to heaven, and the Bible says that he's given the name above all names, that his name every knee will bow and tongue confess to the glory of the Father. And so here Joseph, nobody has ever in history been promoted and accelerated into a place of authority and power like this. It's never happened ever before. And I don't think you could find anything to rival it. The person from the dungeon to the throne. What a picture. Jesus dead, buried, lifeless body laid in a tomb. But 3 days later, he comes out exploding in life. And he's the one, like Joseph for us, the one who opens and interprets our dreams. So we read there that he is promoted to the great ruler in the land, and only the Pharaoh himself would be above him. So verse 42 tells us, Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and he put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen, and he put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." And so, and this is how he set him over all the land of Egypt. We read a couple of chapters ago how Judah, at some time in the interim, had lost his signet ring, his staff, and his cord. I sometimes wonder if, because the chapters become in succession, you think that it happened before, but it is quite possible and likely that Judah had left his brothers. And there was some time where, you know, this family situation that he got into, and you remember the story how he gave up his signet ring, his identity and his authority, the staff and that cord. And while that is happening somewhere up in the Promised Land, it may have been at the same time Joseph, who was betrayed by Judah, is receiving a glorified sort of signet ring and cord and staff. He's given a scepter. He's given a ring. He's given a gold chain. It's interesting to me. I don't know if there's anything deeper there, but later on in chapter 49, we read that Jacob utters a prophecy about Judah's rod, his staff, and his cord, and so forth. And it is a prophecy of Jesus. And so, interesting things to search out. And so he rides around in the chariot, people bowing down to him. And it says, Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I'm Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him as wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah. Apparently, there were a lot of guys named Potiphar back then. Priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. You know, the promotion of God, the Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but from the Lord. And when you think about how people usually rise to power, there's a lot of people that have to get crushed. You know, there's slow, you know, there's deals that have to be made. It's not very pretty in the world. And God gives this authority to Joseph for the sake of his people. You know, sometimes God doesn't give us what we deserve. God just raises up men or women to positions of leadership because he wants to care for his people. That's what the Lord is doing in our country right now. You know, when I ran for office a few months ago, it's a lot you have to do. It's expensive and exhausting, and you got to deal with all sorts of different kinds of people. And that's the way the things in the world are. But when God wants to do something, he just can raise up. And when he has a purpose and a plan, and that's what he does with Joseph, and that's what he does with Jesus. The work of God is seen in the life of Joseph here. He's seated sort of at the right hand of Pharaoh. And the world is commanded to bow the knee. So we read there that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Now we're going to read about the abundant times and then the famine in the next chapter. But we want to close there with what we would call the exaltation of Joseph. And tonight we want to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a time of afterglow. Would you stand with me for a moment as we pray? I'm going to have the worship team come forward, and we're going to just begin to wait on the Lord. We're going to meditate on the Lord, let his word sort of settle into us, and we're going to end our service with some singing, some waiting, and if you want to share what the Lord has put on your heart, maybe you have a vision. Maybe you have a word of encouragement or a scripture that just seems to be burning on you, and you want to share that because you sense the Lord wants to encourage somebody. We'll open the room for that. And we'll just see what the Lord wants to do. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for tonight, the work that you want to do in our lives. Thank you for all of these dreams. It's amazing, Lord, after all of these years of studying the human mind and body, we still, for the most part, dreams are a mystery to us. And there's something that you can speak to us through. You can put thoughts into our mind. You can put words into our mind. And you can put visions and pictures there. We pray tonight that you would cleanse us of all the other images or scenes that we've absorbed maybe during the week on our phones or our devices. Lord, would you just cleanse the slate for us tonight? Would you just wash us so that we could hear your voice as we quiet ourselves before you? We live in such a busy time, Lord. And Lord, as we just shut down some of the noise of the world, and maybe tonight you'll even turn your cell phone off and just separate for a time to wait on the Lord. Father, I pray tonight that you would give us dreams, that you would anoint us with your Spirit. Would you pour out your Spirit on us tonight? Would you move in a way that we haven't seen or known? Lord, this past week, as the rain was coming down, it was pouring in my area. And I know that there's been a drought here for 6 months. And I just thought, oh man, this is the blessing of the Lord. And Lord, tonight, would you rain upon us your blessing? Would you spring up within us a well of joy? Would you give us sweet brokenness and repentance where we need it? Lord, would you guide our thoughts and our mind as we meditate on you? Lord, we love you and we need you. And your word tells us tonight that the opening of dreams belongs to God. And Lord, you give us the dreams and then you bring them to pass. So would you open up to us tonight? Lord, would you speak to us? And would you give us an answer of peace? Tonight I pray for peace upon your people. Lord, that you would give a serenity that hasn't been experienced in many months. Would you just let your peace flow upon us tonight as we trust that you are in complete control, that you can do mighty things, Lord. And you can take us from a dungeon and put us on a throne. You can bring us up, Lord, and lift us up. And so tonight we pray that you'd minister to us by your Spirit. And we just want to come to you in praise and thanks. Let your forgiveness, your power flow tonight in Jesus' name.